Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's kind of amazing how the Lord works with stuff. I can't take any credit for it. You know,
God takes credit.
That's right. The assessment team last week said that we are a church that is too intellectual and too institutionalized, meaning too inward focused. And, you know, I started thinking about this talk and trying to put it together like months ago, and it just fits in exactly with that. I'm sort of following up on what I talking about the last couple of weeks about why people are not going to church anymore, but this is going to go past that. And my point here is that for renewal and restoration of the church, we need to have renewal and restoration in each one of us as individuals. It starts here. We can't pass it off to the pastor or the elder board or to anybody else. It starts with us. So I want to sort of propose kind of a new paradigm, and I don't want to take credit for it. It's not really new. It's in the Bible. It's been around for a long time, but I'm trying to put it together in a way that I think most of us have not heard it like this. Is there anybody who hasn't been here either of Sunday of the last 2 weeks and didn't get one of my subversive handouts? I've got tons if you want them. We're going to be working with this. I'll give you one, sir. Bill. Wow, everybody wants them. Thank you. Nobody on that side wants them. Pass it. Conrad, it's good to have you here. Thank you. All right, here's sort of a model of what I'm talking about. Let's take a look at this. I'm calling it doing our faith. Love is at the top of this diagram. Everything we do as believers should be guided by that principle. So everything we do is under that. And here's the way I want to say this. As believers, if we are balanced in our outlook, if we are holistic in our faith, we are going to be thinkers, doers, and lovers, feeling people. Those three things together lead to renewal and restoration. So let's take a look at the love first at the top of that. And I'm calling this outward focus as a lifestyle. This is a little, we know this in our head, but as believers it's often very difficult to put it in practice. What I want to talk about this morning is how do we actually practice this. I want to back up what I'm going to say here with Scripture so that you guys know I'm not just making this stuff up. Okay, how important is love? Look at those verses. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all things be done in love. Pretty direct, pretty simple. Matthew 22:34 through 40. The Pharisees were gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked, tempting him and saying, "Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything is to be done in love. Now, think about how Jesus could have answered that question. What are some other options he would have had? He could have said, "Well, you got to follow all the law." Or you got to have good doctrine and understand Scripture. All of those things are important. But what did he say?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
It's all about love. That sums it up. Not any of those other things. Love sums it up. All right, let's take a look at the three features. Loving, thinking, doing, loving. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because this class is really good at this. Think about this as like a three-legged stool. And if the three legs are balanced, you can sit on the stool and not fall over. But the Christian church in general, and if you guys are like me, this class, we're particularly heavy on the thinking part and we're not so hot in the doing and the feeling part. Again, I'm speaking for myself. Thinking part can include apologetics, theology, philosophy, knowledge of the Bible, even psychology. If we don't know ourselves, we don't know, it's very difficult to know other people and to be able to know God. I'm not going to spend any time on this because I think we all know this part of it. Let's go to the one that's a little more controversial. Doing. Relationships. Oh boy. Listening. Are we good listeners as Christians, as believers? How are we on acts of compassion? Social justice. We tend to think of social justice in terms of, we'll leave that to the more liberal church. But you know what? The Bible is absolutely packed, loaded with references to how we should be taking care of each other in the political world, personally. And I wanted to put prayer in there because that is something we do that is really important. Maybe the most important thing in all of this.
Austin, can you go a little bit more into what you mean by social justice? Because that has some really interesting conversations.
Yes, I think social justice has to do with helping out with programs for the poor, helping out with programs for the needy. It can be a lot of governmental action. It can be nonprofit organizations that are dedicated to stopping abortion. Those kinds of things, I don't know why, but the conservative church tends to stay away from that kind of stuff. But I see it as just as biblical as anything else we're going to talk about. Does that answer your question, Mark?
Yeah, I just wonder whether that's really the best description of that. But it seems like what you're saying is, if I understand it right,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about acts of charity.
Yes.
Whereas social justice makes claims that people are entitled to things that they may not be entitled
yes.
to. There's an argument about what entitlements are right, what entitlements aren't right. So it becomes juridical. Or even legislative. And I'm just wondering whether that's a term of art for this particular talk or whether you're adopting that more cultural view as a question.
Well, I want to make the claim that things like that, you know, another good example would be having a prison ministry, you know, or working with prisoners or that kind of thing. I think that's just as biblical as any of the other things that are on that screen.
Sure is.
Okay, Warren?
I think of equipping and supporting and enabling what used to be a good word.
Okay. Good, thank you.
The only check that I have with that is that the way it's defined in our culture right now is not biblical. It's not the same as what you're saying. So it's kind of a word that can that can be reactive.
Yes.
Instead of convey exactly what you're trying to say.
Everything I'm talking about here are things that are done in the name of the Lord, with prayer and His name on our mind, not just out there doing them to do them. Tim?
If I understand correctly, I agree with Mark. The word social justice to someone who's not a believer is a completely different connotation. From your description, I would use more words like community service or community involvement rather than social justice.
I think that's fair.
Me personally, when I think of social justice, I think of like gay rights or like the Black Lives Matter movement. That's what I think of, honestly.
Naomi?
I think that, to me, the point of what you're saying is it's not all inward.
That's right.
It's like, how can we help out there?
Yes. Thank you. John, real quick.
I was thinking of calling it social outreach.
Yeah, I think those are better terms. I like that. Does anybody have any white out? I can. Mara?
I think that no one does that better than Christians, and forever. I mean, from churches to abortion, people, girls that are having abortions, I mean, that are being counseled. The conservatives and the conservatives give more to charity than anyone, hospitals, universities, everything has been done in the name of Christianity and Christians. I mean, have you heard of any atheist big deal? I mean, I think that, you know, it's there, but I think we do it automatically. And that word, I'm with Mark, just does that to me like a chalkboard.
Well, the idea of it, the idea of reaching out and helping those that are less fortunate, in whatever way, hang on, is a Christian idea.
I agree.
Yeah, it is very much a Christian idea. Now, some people who are not Christians have adopted that and have some very good, effective programs out there.
It's like the word choice. It has come to mean, let's kill the baby.
Yeah.
Right.
So we know that it means something different, but that's the way it's become identified, and so is the word social, or the term social justice. When you showed it this morning, the other one, I almost gagged.
Yeah.
I'll change it. I get the feeling. Okay. All right, let's go to... Yes.
Without loving the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Because it's through that that you experience the love of the Lord and you want to give it away.
Yes. We're going to be talking a lot about that. Yeah. Mara?
Can you, outside of God is love, can you define love? I don't know if I know what love is. I've been thinking about this week. I don't know if I really know what love means.
I have a working definition, I think. Does anybody want to give a shot at that?
1 Corinthians 13.
Seeking the highest good for the other person. That's so close to my definition that I won't tell you mine. I really like that. So let me ask you some questions about that. Seeking the highest good for the other person. Is that always a feeling?
No.
Does sometimes seeking the highest good for the other person, is sometimes that uncomfortable for them and or you?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yeah. Warren?
I think it always involves action and commitment.
Action and commitment. Yes. As Christians, we kind of lack on those two sometimes, don't we? John?
We must not forget the biblical definition.
Yes. I will be quoting 1 Corinthians 13.
I got mine from James. Just do it.
Just do it. We're going to do that. We're going to do a little of that too. Okay, let's talk about feeling. Feelings are so squishy and unpredictable, and are we as Christians supposed to have any commitment to that? Feeling, love as an emotion. In this case, I'm using it as a slightly different definition. Ted?
Well, my thought is when Martha and Mary at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus started weeping. So I would say that's an emotion.
Yes, it is.
And this is Jesus Christ without emotion. You know? And all the other folks were crying as well. Well, they were sorry over Lazarus' demise.
Yes. Thank you, Ted.
I think feelings are part of what's revealed in the Scripture as God's character. He felt and he acted appropriately on how he felt.
Very good.
And they're not something to be afraid of, other than that they are very fickle and can change. And that's why, as a believer, I believe you have to have the Holy Spirit as your internal locus of control, being in charge of what you do with your feelings.
Good. And that rolls right into the next word, so thank you. Compassion. This is my favorite word on the list, and I'll tell you why. There are lots of verses that talk about how God has compassion for us. There's several verses that talk about how we are supposed to have compassion for each other. Does anybody know what the definition, if you break it apart into it, break it up into its Greek parts, what does compassion mean?
Suffering.
It means to suffer with.
Suffer with.
If someone else is going through a hard time, is feeling something, we're supposed to feel the same thing they're feeling. We're not supposed to lose ourselves in it, but when the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on the blind man or whoever, it means he felt with him. So all of those verses are really a biblical injunction to feel, to be involved. I love this word now. Now I understand what that means. Suffer with. Gratitude. How can we be believers without a sense of gratitude? And I put beauty in there, understanding beauty. Beauty is part of God's creation. When I go to the Getty or I listen to a great piece of music, even if those pieces of art are not directly related to the Lord, there's a sense of the Lord that comes through that because He created beauty, and I can appreciate that in His name. So our life as believers, I'm proposing, should be filled with the doing part and the feeling part as well as the thinking part. Again, I want to back some of this up. So let's talk about some of these verses that talk about love. 1 John 4, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For if he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? John 13, 34, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. As I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, all shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one towards another. Matthew 5, 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. This is one of the most subversive, dangerous things Jesus ever said, and we're so used to it that it just rolls off. But think about what that really means. I don't think anyone in history had ever said this before, other than in God in the Old Testament, there's a few places. But imagine hearing this for the first time, and your whole way of thinking in your life has been related to taking care of your family, taking care of your tribe and your clan and your country, and protecting yourself, protecting your honor against all of those people that are here to get you. And Jesus comes along and says, love your enemies. Bless them. No wonder they wanted to kill him. How dangerous is that if you actually did it? Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. It does not say, let us consider one another to provoke to good apologetics and sound doctrine. Which it could. Those things are important. I do not want at all to say they are not. But look what it does say. Mara?
Just on the last, how do we love ice
cream? Great point. Okay. I've got an opinion on that, but I'll open it up. Yes?
I think part of the answer is to pray for them because Jesus died on the cross for their sins, the worst of sins. And also pray that the Lord would, I do that, but I don't love them.
But you're loving them by praying for them.
Christ loves them. That's what you're doing.
Remember, love is not love's not always an emotion.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's why I don't know what love is, because I think about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't love certain people like that, like I do. And I read books. I'm glad that there's a hell for Hitler. I'm sorry.
Now, what if in the last 5 minutes of Hitler's life he converted?
Well, he did. I pray that he did. I do.
Right.
If he didn't, I'm sorry. I'm happy. I thank God there's a hell. And then I think I'm not a loving person. Maybe I just am not a loving person.
Well, Mara, none of us are naturally.
Well, I know, but I should have. If I receive the Lord, God is love. I should feel that. It's hard for me.
Val, thank you, Mara. Thanks for being honest about that. Val?
We don't love the evil that people do.
That's right.
That's what we hate. And I think that's correct. We shouldn't love evil. But the people that, for whatever reason, committed evil, if we pray for them, that's, maybe the only way we can show our love.
That's,
if we care enough to pray for them.
That's good. Thank
well,
you.
I do
yeah.
that because I have to take the hate away from me. Mm-hmm. So I do pray, and it's hard for me to hate somebody I'm praying for, but I don't love them.
Here's an interesting thought. I just thought of this a few days ago. Maybe I think that God is the only being in the universe that can properly, intelligently, in a correct way, separate the person from the actions. Mara, I say I know you. You're my friend. I know what you look like, and I know what you say, and I know a few things about you because you've told me, but do I know you?
No.
Do I value you? I mean, it's very hard for us to make that distinction, but God somehow does, and He loves every single one of us for who we are. And it's such a cliche, but somehow He's able to tease that out in a way that we can't.
Love is an action. It's not a feeling. Yeah, I think that it can produce a feeling, but love is an intentional choice, I believe.
Thank you. Marlene? Yes.
So I think that also if we remember ourselves and how we were before we came to the Lord and how dark we were and what we were capable of, I think sometimes it's easier than to love another person. But also, when you see people who have come to the Lord out of those and you recognize the fact that maybe it is possible for them to come into a relationship with God. And then for me, when I think about that, it's easier for me to make more loving choices.
Thank you. Thank you. Chrissy?
Yeah, I was thinking along those same lines, and there's, well, actually, a lot, some of it's been said, but I don't think we really need to feel pressure to love ISIS as an organization. They're doing wrong. It's awful. But like someone out of the Iranian National Guard became one of our brothers and is professing Christ and doing a lot of good work. So you never know what God's up to in the individual. And somehow, I don't know how, but Corrie Ten Boom, with all that she went through, was able to forgive one of the guards where she was, and he became a believer. So I don't know how it works, but I think you get grace at the time you need it.
Yes.
But overall, I don't think we have to feel pressure to life or love ISIS as a group because they're going against God.
Let me do one more. Thank you, Christy. Let me do one more verse and then we'll do some more questions. Or two more. We did that one. And then this is the love chapter, the great love chapter in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, in other words, it could be a great preacher, a great orator, and have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have prophecies and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all apologetics, and though I have all faith so as to move mountains and do not have love, I am what?
Nothing.
That's hard. That's really hard to hear in this class. Hard for me.
I heard it.
Thank you, Steve. Then I did my job. And though I give out all my goods to feed the poor, in other words, doing the right things, and though I deliver my body to be burned and have not love, I am profited nothing. Wow. How it just drops you to your knees if you really, really hear this.
I'm thinking that, you know, everybody has an opinion, but love is an action, is something that we do that lines up with Scripture. And anything else is of the world.
Very good. Thank you. Marlene?
Yes, the other thing is that so often we are not capable of being honest. The Lord gives that example. I know in myself, I didn't ask it to you. It's very difficult for me to love nothing. I have to say to you, Adam is sweet, wanting to slice my head off, and screaming and yelling vile things. But, you know, I've got grace and this is how I can do it. And, you know, it's always a matter of surrender. You know, and letting him express himself.
Thank you, Marlene. Yes, Jocelyn?
For a while, I was part of a Christian support group in every season, trying to connect with the Muslims in the local area. We got in the church, they were having Christmas parties for them and so forth. And the attitude of this group was, these people must be left and misguided. You know, they're being taken over by this thing called Islam and so forth. But they themselves are good people that need to be loved because they are misguided. And that's sort of just with all the people that have come over to the, you know, that have finally made it. Found out about the evening, the ISIS and somebody among them may find comfort with you.
Thank you.
I think sometimes we have a vision problem, that if we were to crawl up in Jesus' lap and look through his glasses and see what he sees.
Does he have glasses?
Why not? Only for our benefit. And I think if we look through his eyes, we would see what he sees. He created and designed all of these people for his heart, for his service, and they got broken, and they're wounded, and he looks and he loves, and he longs for them to come back to him. And when I look at those ISIS people, I see that brokenness and that wounding, and I believe that we're called to pray for them to be restored to who God gave them to be. And so that's, if I look at it through God's eyes, I see a very different picture than when I look at it through my eyes of hurt and anger and injustice. And I think I just have a vision problem.
That's so excellent. Imagine if we could, imagine if what the world saw of us, those of in the world that are not yet Christians, if what they saw of us was, rather than sort of an isolated club who's a bit judgmental, that we were people that led with that kind of love. All our problems, most of our problems, many of our problems of trying to reach those for Christ would go away because they would be attracted. There'd be something here that they could easily understand that was different than what they had, and they would want that. And that's what I'm, that's where I'm going with this. That's what I'm proposing. Dan?
Yeah, the Bible, on the direction of Paul and the Holy Spirit, tells us how, gives us tools and ideas for our enemies. Romans 12:20. Therefore, if the enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire in his hand.
So that's part of loving our enemy.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Helen.
I think there's a place for hating evil because God hates Satan and his works, and so I don't think Mara should try to love ISIS or even the people that are caught up in it, you know? I mean, they are the epitome of evil, and I don't see how. I mean, God hated evil, and he also drove the money changers out of the temple. He had indignation. I don't think we're supposed to be wishy-washy. I think when people are against us personally and they hate us, we should be forgiven. But when it's against God and everything that we stand for, I don't think we should love that. Love them.
Anybody want to comment on that? Tim?
I agree that we shouldn't be wishy-washy, but I disagree. I think we should not be wishy-washy by loving everybody no matter what. And I don't think there's any... Yeah, God hates Satan, but Satan's not a person. Satan is Satan. And I totally agree with the woman over there. I don't know her name, but everybody is a special, beautiful creation under God, and we have to love them. And I think that's our obligation. I don't think we should, can be wishy-washy about that.
Colleen.
I don't think we're called to love the organization like homosexuality, but we're to love each person within that group. It's the person, not the organization.
Good, thank you. John.
Don't kill the messenger here. But Jesus himself said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Quote from our Lord. And so that extends to such things as a person has to ask, are they obeying Jesus? Are they having sex outside of marriage? Are they impatient, kind, or whatever behavior you want to talk about, all that, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And granted, we all fail at that way too often, you know, granted. But love also results in obedience.
Now, isn't one of Jesus' commandments that if we don't obey, we are not loving God? Isn't one of his commandments to love everybody?
No.
So, to the extent that we don't love people in our path, we're not loving God.
You know,
is it? Would you agree with that?
If Hitler were to come to me in repentance, I would fully put my arms around him and try to help him out. Okay. But you hate the evil that he did, but show some sort of remorse or forgiveness and would treat that person kindly. You know, like to feed your enemy. You know, treat them kindly. Sure, if you can. That's all about you.
Thank you. Wow, look at the hands.
Okay, so I think about, well, what hill do I want to die on? And, you know, we as a community, we think about all the things that we could do to ISIS. And you have to consider, what are we standing for? And if we're not standing on God's word, then that's not the hill that I want to die on. And if we are, then I'm going to be in all the way.
Thank you.
We have to remember the bottom line. We're born sinners into a sinful world. We sin, and we're sinned against. On our best day, our best good as a filthy rag. That's what Scripture says.
Yeah.
And there is a Luciferian agenda that is fully functioning in this world. But there also is a Holy Spirit, God's ordained agenda. And love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. To really love requires being connected to the Lord, and His Spirit is the one that enables us to love as He would have us love. He did. That doesn't mean that we ignore evil. He didn't. So I think those bottom line distinctions are really important as you're trying to find ways to flesh this out. That's really an important
good
place to start from.
Marlene, and then I'm going to get to something else. Yes. Yes, it is. It is. If what I'm saying here is correct, it is the main weapon. All right, let's get to the fun of this. I'm proposing a new way to do this, that one of the ways that should be in our arsenal to witness, to talk to the outside world, of course, includes the life of the mind. But I gave you guys an assignment. The assignment was a list that I had made up of things that are other ways in which we can reach out to people that are a little more subversive. Some of them are not directly faith-related, but they are ways that we can express love to the outside world. I gave it as an assignment. I said, think about it, pray about it, try a few, and I'm very interested to know what you thought. If you thought I was crazy, this is terrible, or they were helpful to you. I'm going to start with myself because I found that in making this list, I was coming up against a lot of stuff in my own psyche that said, I don't want to do these things. I had to go through a lot of resistance. My feeling was if I started down one of these paths, I was never going to be able to pull myself back, that I would just lose myself in this. And so I'm curious to know, when you talk about these, what positive experiences you had with them, but maybe what negative feelings you had and what maybe you had to fight in yourself as you worked through this stuff. So, Mark, go ahead and start.
I'll even cite the number. number 14, which drove me anonymous. Blessed child of God, so, you know, cross out the moron word.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about getting cut off. I actually don't mind that because that things are going fast and slow. But I actually do have problems with where I live and some of the people who live around that area. Driving really slowly and getting in the way and not getting the turn signal. And I could just give you a litany, any of the vehicle code sections that they're violating, that bother me. And the good thing about this list, and I've carried it with me since you gave it out, I want you to know that.
Thank you.
I've used it and I've looked at it, is that because that bothered me so much, you know, when people don't drive the way I think they should. Too slow is the number one. Violence is, but that's not your problem. But what it did was it provoked in me the anticipation of when is it going to happen again. So I know someone's going to do something goofy again and again, and it's never going to end. So now I have to deal with me and empower my thinking about these goofy goofs. And the advantage there is that it started to soften. And I still have a problem, but it's nowhere near as bad as it was just a couple weeks ago. So it actually, the doing of the work actually started a transformation in my heart.
Wow.
And it makes it a little, not completely, but a little easier to do as I keep doing. So I just know that I can keep throwing in front of me until I get it chewed up. But that's my confession and one of the transformations that's resulting from it.
Wow.
So thank you for putting the time into it.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. That's very... If I do, I'll drive really fast. Gloria?
Well, I have been tricked by the one that was about gratitude. I think finding 12 things to be thankful for, something like that. Because I have been kind of on the verge of that. And, you know, heard people keeping gratitude journals and stuff like that. But, you know, I just do that knowing I got your paper. I started looking more for, as one lady put it, look. Yes, there's a lot of weeds. When we wake up in the morning, when we hear about ice, and see there's all the cruelty in the world, and this and that, there's a lot of things wrong. But look for the flowers on the weeds. What are the 12 flowers, or at least 12 flowers, today and next week? And it did make me a little lighter during the day.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you. Mara?
I really enjoyed the list. Thank you for doing it. It was fun because the thing.
Good. Good.
You know, I always thank God all day long for this, that, and the other, but it was fun putting them in 12 things. And, like, you know, I thought, I'm going to do that before I get out of bed. And there were probably more that I could thank before, just that my eyes opened up, that I breathed, that for my mom, for whatever. Then I, giving a bigger tip, I went through the car wash, and I gave the guy, I'm going to give him a bigger tip. And usually the guy says, thank you for the tip. This guy didn't even thank me. I thank God and he does things for us every minute. And I said, he went through it. Jesus, now we know how Jesus feels. But
wow.
I gave it to him because you said it, and I thought that was great. Then I gave it to, like, I try to, you know, I'm discerning who I give money to, who's begging all the time. But I gave to, I thought, I'm going to give except for false churches. I gave everyone that I saw something, you know, because it was just, I was trying to do those things you said. It was fun.
Very good.
Great.
I got some
Just a second, Steve. I'll get to you. Warren.
If we act, we're in charge. If we react, the other person's in charge.
Right. Good. I like that.
It's an enjoyable list. There's one thing I'd suggest to add to each of the 21 steps.
Uh-huh.
21, 12 reverse 12-step program. What can we see God do through our obeying Him? There's a dimension here that's of God that hopefully when people look at us, they don't see us as a congregational church person only, or an atheist, or this could be an elf club list. They see something that says, I'm attracted to who you look to for your goodness.
Yes.
Only because you acted and then something happened. I know you. You couldn't have pulled this off. What is it about who you're honoring? And then they come to the God of goodness. Now that's a dimension where we have to look to see what God can do. How do we do that? We come to those limits of frustration, irritation, maybe even bitterness. And we're forced to say, you know, I have to come in faith and pray. And then we obey, like John was saying, just to obey if you love me. Now, how can we love God who has no need? If you love me, obey my commandments, because he has a plan, an agenda. So if we do it, then he can act. So this is a partnership that comes into every step, that we should see something somewhere that God is doing just because we obey.
Thank you. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah. When me and my friend Aaron Lee were at the restaurant, we were the only two people in the restaurant. It was a Honduran restaurant. And we thanked the lady, gave the lady a bigger tip than usual. Because the food was good. We enjoyed the service.
Good.
We were the only two people there.
Do you feel, Steve, like the Lord was witnessing to that waitress as you did that?
Yes.
Good job. Jim, you wanted to say something.
Yeah. I go down to the Corner Bakery quite a bit, like Sears. And I just love to be with people. And I plan it so there will be a lot of people there. And I went for lunch on Monday, and it was packed. And there was not a table or chair in sight. And by the time I paid and everything, a table opened up. But I feel uncomfortable sitting at a table for four. I usually try to find a table for two. Well, I sat in this table, and I looked around, and there was a couple behind me looking for a place to sit. And I motioned them to come and sit with me, and they did.
Good.
And this has happened before last year. I'll do that.
Good.
Really enjoying
so you were generous with your space.
Yes.
Good. Jim, thank you, Jim.
My wife and I did this at a restaurant, and it was all crowded. We had a larger table than needed for two. And there was a guy in there alone, and he didn't speak English. And he was waiting, and it was going to be maybe a long time to wait. So I motioned the waiter, I said, sit here. So he came and sat with us and ate with us. And then when we got tired, I asked for our bill. We got to go. And she said, no. They just wouldn't charge us. I thought it was just probably just because we did that. He decided to do that, the manager.
Let me ask you guys this. If we show acts of love and compassion to those around us, whoever we run into as our day goes on, and we don't specifically mention Jesus, but we're doing it in the Lord's name, is that a witness to the world?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Ted.
To get back to that ISIS issue, you could have Mark Perez working with a drug dealer in some violent situation where it's actually combat. He's preventing that man from continuing in his evil and adding more sin and destruction to his life. I don't know if you stop a person in the midst of their evil, they're not continuing with the evil. That would give them a hotter place in hell, or they will lose blessing when they become a Christian. Okay? So, first off, stop the evil that that person's doing. Then you can, for instance, maybe someone drugs me, and something happens to me, I go crazy and start throwing chairs around here, and you guys get a hold of me, and you know, you got me all staked out.
It would take a lot of us to pin you down, kid.
Then you think, you love Ted, you care about it. Then you call Marlene, poor old Ted, wigged out here, you know, and then I'm calmed down, gee, thanks for stopping me. You know, and then you explain, Ted, you were wigged out. And then I'm in my right senses. See, well, if I stop an ISIS person, and he's subdued, let me tell you about my Jesus. But in the middle of the valley, you don't start talking to him about Jesus. You stop the guy. Even if he's got bullet holes in him or you blow his arm off, he stops.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, I'll put the tourniquet on your arm.
Witnessing to people in prison after they've been stopped. Yeah, good. Thank you. Mara?
All of these people, I mean, and I try to do all the things of loving the individual. We're talking about, in general, individuals, yes, if he didn't blow his head off first, just before he could witness, and then he tells him he's a Christian, but because I don't even deserve God's love. I should be in hell. I understand that, and that's why I look with compassion, like the one lady over here said, same with Hitler, you know. If you were able to speak to Hitler, if I had the opportunity to speak to Hitler, he came to me, I'd try and give him the gospel so he could be saved. However, overall, you read the atrocities that mean where they're killing millions and millions and millions of people. I'm glad there's that hell, and I even belong there. You know what I'm saying? That's why I need a savior, and that's why we tell the gospel to the news. Because we need a savior, you know?
Good, thank you. Gloria?
Well, I think it's like a two-part thing. When you say going out and doing good things, even if you don't mention the name of Jesus and you're still worshiping the Lord, well, yes, I know that if I say that I just did stupid things, like I saw somebody use a piece of paper when they were carrying food, right? Went over and I said, I think you lost something. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. You know. And then I didn't say, by the way, I'm a Christian. You know. I feel like God took that as worship to him because I wouldn't have done it if I wouldn't have been conscious of God. So because I was God conscious, I told the guy about the paper that was ended up being very important. Well, that's one thing, and that is glorifying God directly to him. But Jesus did say that even if you give a drink to one of these little ones in my name, there is a time when we should say, we should get it across, that people don't just say, oh, that Marie, she's so nice. Right. She's got such a sweet disposition. She's just so... No, I think I should let it be known, people. Yeah, there's a reason why you see what you think is a good disposition. That can get down on my knees and repent for my lousy attitudes and my, you know, grumbling and mumbling. I mean, so there's a place for both.
Very good. Thank you. I know that when I... Every moment of every day that I'm awake is an opportunity to be a good witness. And it's such a cliche. But when you think about it in terms of the list, just having your head up, looking around, taking in the people that the Lord brings into your life, dealing with them in some way that is attentive and loving towards them, it's simple, it's easy, and it's really hard. But when I go through a day and I'm in a bad mood and I'm not engaging people and I'm kind of surly with the guy at Home Depot and whatever it is, those are wasted opportunities. Those are times that I have wasted, and it hurts my heart. Tim, did you have anything you wanted to say about the list?
Yeah. Well, actually, I got Redeem 5, which was the homeless one. And I didn't, like, go out of it. It wasn't even my choice, which was pretty lame. but I was out doing my job, and this homeless guy came up to me. I didn't know. I was kind of crossing the street, and you know, I saw this guy, like, walking up to me quick. I'm like, who's this guy? And he came up to me, and he's like, hey, you see the game? It sucks that those blah, 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 lost. I don't watch sports, so I didn't really know. And he asked me, I was like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm doing my job, and I told him about my job. And I'm not, like, super, like, proud of my job. I, like, deliver. which is, by most people look at that as kind of a lowly job, so I kind of said it like, you know, deliver food. And he's like, what's wrong with that? And I was like, damn, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, this is a guy who, like, doesn't have a place to sleep, and I'm complaining to him that I get paid. And he's like, oh, did they give you a car? And I was like, no, that's my own car. I keep saying all these things, like, wow, I got it so good. And finally, he asked me for some money. I don't carry cash in me, but I had, like, just a bag of quarters that I keep for parking. You know, I have a stack of money in my car, and so I gave it to him, and he's like, God bless you. And he left. And I don't know, there's something about that entire, just what happened was just, I don't know, it was kind of crazy how, like, good so many of us have it, and how much I take for granted. I didn't even mention God or Jesus, and he was the one that did. I don't know, this world's kind of crazy.
So it's interesting, one thing I pick up from what you're saying, too, is that you learned something. Very good. Jocelyn.
This goes back to the Muslim issue. And Jay Smith, who's the base Muslim in Hyde Park in London, and he's got the videos or whatever, not just the video. One of the things that he says is that the Muslims see Christians as immoral and not bringing clothes or whatever their thoughts are. He says, if you have an opportunity to talk to somebody who's a Muslim and start talking to them about Jesus Christ, they are suddenly very open, because normally people who call themselves Christians don't do that. But if you start talking about them, they're suddenly very receptive to it. And he says, don't turn down that opportunity. They want to know more, because they don't. That's, you are the real Christian, because the Christian is the key. Call Christian is not the person that they want to be. But if you actually talk about the Lord, and if you have an opportunity,
good, thank you.
Yeah, you know, as far as doing things without praying, the Bible that word is great to know and pray to Jesus and everybody. And, you know, that doesn't mean you have to say anything. I mean, there is something that is given off that makes a difference in the world.
Yes.
And even though the person may not represent what it is for, that all of those things are in our way. Even if it's not seen on the earthly realm, it's seen in the heavenly realm.
It does.
During the rain recently, our upstairs neighbor had moved out, and he left a couch in the trash bin. And we came home, and there was a homeless lady with her shoes off and her blanket on the couch. And trying to be concerned, because I am, when I see something, I want to do something. But I just went and got her, made a sandwich out of what we had for dinner, and brought her something to eat. And when I went back in, I was thinking, like, should I dash her in and just sleep on the couch or whatever? I wouldn't put it on the floor. But then I think that we have to be wise. And recognize the need that you can meet, but God, maybe that's what God is calling you to do, is to feed them. But you have to do it with boundaries around it, so that
you have to be careful.
You have to be discerning, and you have to be wise, and not just. You know, I just think that, because I struggled with that, I thought about it a lot since then. So anyway.
Thank you. I want to talk about my own reaction, too, to putting the list together. Just thinking about these things and challenging myself to be more aware of the people that are around me and trying to share a prayer or a word with people to love them in some way that I could. Doing that has created a lot of healing in myself. I'm more patient and I'm less angry, And it's been a really good thing for me to struggle with this list. And I think the one thing that I would like to share from a personal standpoint has to do with that. I mean, I've been in this class for 15 years. About maybe halfway through that time, I realized for myself, apologetics has been a wonderful tool. It really allowed me to integrate my faith with the world around me, and I needed that. I was struggling with that. But then I realized that I personally needed more. There are a lot of times I was laying in bed at night and I was struggling, I was praying, I was having a hard time about something. I was asking the Lord for His comfort and His peace that He talks about. And there were a lot of times when that didn't come. And just lately, in the last year or so, I think, I've realized that when I'm out there doing these things on the list, when I'm paying attention to the people that are in my life, whoever the Lord brings into my universe that day, when I'm trying to be intentional towards them, maybe going out of my way in a big way for someone, maybe just a small way, it's those times that then I get the sense of the Lord's presence, that I'm doing what He wants, the sense of the peace and the comfort that He gives. And I realized I was being really narcissistic. I was just laying in bed at night asking God to drug me into feeling better. And that's not for me. Some people, that's the way it works. For me, it doesn't work that way. And so a lot of you that are in this class for a long time, if you feel that way, if you feel like the relational side, your relational connection with the Lord is often lacking, what I want to suggest is just go out and do some things for Him. Do these things on the list or whatever your list is that the Lord gives you, and see if that helps that connection, if it helps that feeling of emptiness. Ted?
You know what I find with the same issue? When I am obedient, as Brother John brought up here, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. When I do that, I can adhere to that list. That brings that out of me. But when I have a sinful thought, or I'm thinking avarice or whatever diversion I've got in my character, then I won't do those things on that list. But when I'm obedient and acting right, then my heart is open up to do the other good things. And God brings more. It's like a self-fulfilling being.
It is. It is. Very good.
And then the Holy Spirit blesses that. Then the good things come out of it.
Good. Very good. I want to leave with one verse. I know I'm a minute over time. I got about a third of the way through my PowerPoint, so maybe someday I'll finish it. But remember this verse, Luke 8:16, and no one lighting a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a couch, but he sets it on a lampstand so that those who enter it may see the light. The light that we have is the light of the Holy Spirit, but He's reflected in our actions. Remember, we are the hands and the feet of the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says. We are the ones that are out there supposed to be doing Jesus' work. Let's not ever forget that. And if people can't see what's in us that's different, we're making a big mistake. And that goes to this quote that I used a couple weeks ago. Remember? Our team discovered that 84% of young non-Christians say they know a Christian personally, yet only 15% say the lifestyles of those believers are noticeably different in a good way. Doing the things on the list, or whatever your list is the way, is the cure for this. Let them see that we're different. It doesn't have to be big, it just has to be little things like on that list. So, let me blow through all of this, and let me get to the end here. Wow, I guess that's the end. Let us represent Jesus Christ by how we love people and what we can do for them, as much as by what we say and believe. That's where I want to leave it. Thank you, everybody. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us to reach out and share your love, express your love towards the people you bring into our life every day. I ask, Lord, that I don't blow those opportunities, that I represent you well with your love and humility and compassion. And thank you so much that you've given us a reason to love and a passion and compassion for other people. We ask your blessing on this food, that we are about to partake, and also on Jim's presentation. Ask that we can all receive it in joy and fun, and just each of us remember that we are your light as we go out into the world. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.